Valley Bible Church. Good to see you. Who said that? Somebody way out there. Yes. We're a ways away, but at least you've got some shade. Beautiful morning, and it's going to be a warm day, but it's definitely warm in our hearts. Good singing this morning. Thank you all for being here and taking the time on this beautiful morning to worship the Lord together. We can worship God anywhere, right? That's the interesting part of New Testament worship. We're not bound to a city. We're not bound to a temple. We're not bound to a ritual, to a specific altar, in a specific place, on a specific day, at a specific time. We worship anywhere and all the time. And we worship together corporately, but we also worship individually. There is a personal time of worship when you take your Bible and it's you and God, and you have an opportunity to talk to Him and to maybe praise Him and thank Him and ask for forgiveness, and you worship Him personally, and that's an outgrowth of our worship corporately. But also, as we have been seeing in the book of Hebrews, there is the worship of life. The very act of living is an act of worship, and we are to be people that worship Him on a regular basis. And in so doing, as we're going to see in our text this morning, we can be pleasing to God. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? I don't know if you worry about that, but is it possible to please God, for you to be pleasing to God? We're sinners, after all, and we fall short of the glory of God. We continue to sin, and we make mistakes, and sometimes we rebel. But is it possible for us to please God? And it is, we'll see, possible to please God with our worship, corporately, individually, and worship as life. We have been talking about worship as life, the life of worship, for the last few Sundays, because we ended chapter 12 with these words in Hebrews 12. He said, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, we've been given a New Testament kingdom and with a new covenant, not the old covenant. And this new kingdom cannot be shaken. It is God's kingdom which is coming. And he says, because of that, let us show gratitude. Let us be thankful. Let us respond with grace. And then notice the language of worship, that we may offer to God an offering. The word offer is a specific liturgical term for offering. That we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice. And the word acceptable is the word pleasing. A sacrifice that is pleasing to Him. And an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Our worship is always to be with a sense of revering God in awe of His goodness and His person and all that He has done for us. And so as we have been seeing the last number of weeks, we are to be grateful worshipers of a gracious God. God has been gracious to us, and we are to be grateful worshipers. Our response to Him is a life of worship. And for those Hebrews that the author was writing to, many of them were tempted to go back to the old system. You know, they missed the old ways. They missed going to the tabernacle. They missed all the things in the pomp and circumstances of worship. And they were being persecuted for their faith. And so the writer is providing for them that there is something better, a better kind of worship that pleases God than that worship of the Old Testament. This worship, New Testament worship, the worship of this kingdom, the worship of this covenant, is fulfilling. It is broader. It is deeper. It is more accessible. It is more satisfying than anything offered through the Old Testament sacrificial system. And so that is what we're going to look at, just two verses today. He's been talking about our lives as worship, and in verses 1 through 16 in chapter 13, he is talking about life is worship. And these verses where we will look at today, 15 and 16, are pretty much wrapping up this life of worship. And then next week, he begins the cleanup of the book. So I know that you just sat down a minute ago. The verses are very brief. Verses 15 and 16 of chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, or if you have a tablet or a phone or whatever, turn with me to Hebrews 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're reading very simply verses 15 and 16. Listen very closely to these words. And notice the language of worship throughout. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16, the Word of God. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Father, we pray that this morning our lips of sacrifice and thanksgiving, our lives of worship, would be pleasing to you. And particularly, we pray for those who are making the good confession this morning, that as they come and they are baptized as an act of worship, that it would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for them, and we pray for their growth. Lead us through your word now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first thing we see here is that all of worship is through Jesus Christ. He says very simply, through Him then. Let's stop right there. Through whom? Through Jesus. Through Him then we offer sacrifice. All worship is through Him. This is what pleases God. When we worship and our worship is centered upon Jesus Christ, when it is through Jesus Christ, God is pleased with our worship. And since we have the one who became the final sacrifice through the sacrificial system, and since we have an altar of worship, we saw last week, through the person of Christ and His finished work, our worship in the New Testament is only through Jesus Christ. And He's making a statement here. It's not through the tabernacle. It's not through sacrifices of the Old Testament. It is not through the law. Our worship is only through the person of Jesus Christ because He is the final sacrifice. And by doing so, He did away with all of the law and He fulfilled it. Christ is the one mediator between God and men. And when He says, through Him, that means He is the mediator. Our worship goes through the person of Jesus Christ, but not just the person, all that He is and all that He has done. He is the Son of God. He's the eternal God. He is the Creator God. He is the Messiah. He is the one who has lived a perfect life and died in our place, and He is raised from the dead, and so therefore all worship is through Him. And there is always a mediator in worship. In the Old Testament, you had priests. You couldn't go do it yourself. You couldn't go to the altar and offer up your own sacrifices. You could be put to death for that. But He says, through Him now, let us offer up our sacrifice. There is always a means of worship, and they are always prescribed by God. We worship the way God tells us to worship. And when we worship the way we want to worship, it is not acceptable. It is not pleasing in His sight. One cannot just approach a holy God except by the means by which God has given us that approach. And it is Jesus. So since we have Christ, it is through Christ that all of our worship is offered to God. The word offer here is a specific liturgical term for an offering. And an offering was a sacrifice. We don't pass the plate anymore, but that's where that idea came from. taking an offering in the worship service, it meant a sacrifice. This is something that you give of yourself that was costly, something that you gave as a way of saying thank you, God, a way of praising Him. And so all offerings are sacrifices. And so our access to the Lord is not limited now. And we are able to come and we are able to worship Him with all that He has given to us. Just notice that language of worship. Through Him, let us offer, bring an offering, continually a sacrifice. So all worship is through Him. And the second thing that we see in the second part of verse 15 is that we all worship God with our words. He's very specific about worshiping God with what we say, what comes out of our mouths, with our tongue, with our lips. And of course, that comes from our hearts. And New Testament worship is characterized as a sacrifice of praise. He says, through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Our worship is to be ceaseless. Let us continually offer it up. Again, it's not limited in time and place. Our access to worship is not in Jerusalem on certain days. Do you know that when you lived in Israel, you could not offer a sacrifice if you did not live in Jerusalem, unless you went to Jerusalem? You had to go there on certain days at certain times and offer that sacrifice in a certain way. It had to be through the priest. But we can worship Him continually, any place, anytime, anywhere. And it is to be offered to Him continually, ceaselessly. The Scriptures speak of this. We are to rejoice always. We are to pray without ceasing. In everything, we're to give thanks. You see this kind of language throughout the New Testament, that worship is not just one day a week or one time a week or three times a year. It is to be ceaseless. We sang that in our song. Take my life and let it be ceaseless praise. Continually, over and over and over again. And this kind of ceaseless worship anticipates heaven, doesn't it? That in heaven there would be worship all the time. That doesn't mean we're always going to be singing, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God has beings that are designed and created for that very purpose. And in heaven now, and in heaven then, there will be this ceaseless praise, and we will be aware of it today because of our sin nature. We forget from time to time. I forget who I am. I forget where I came from. I forget to whom I belong. And I cease to praise Him, and I start to look at myself and feed my own needs and desires. And instead, we are to be filled with ceaseless praise. And praise is speaking of the goodness of God. It is a telling of who He is, that He is the matchless King, that He is infinite, that He is eternal, that He is holy, that He is just, that He is sovereign, and He is powerful. And then we are to speak of all that He has done. He has created all things. He has made us. He has given us grace to draw breath. He has called us. He has redeemed us. He has sanctified us. And He is changing us into the likeness of Christ. And that's what praise is, telling those things about God. And so our sacrifice of praise is this acknowledging to God and to others of all that God is and all that He has done. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. And then He explains what that is. He says, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to God, or acknowledge thanksgiving to God, the fruit of lips. Where does the fruit come from? It comes from our hearts. When hearts are submitted to Him and to His Word, and when we are walking in faithfulness, when we are walking in holiness, when we are shedding off sin and carnality, when we are loving him with all of our heart and our mind and our souls, and we are loving our neighbors as ourselves and loving the brethren, when we are doing those things, the automatic fruit of our mouth is praise and thanksgiving to him. That means we do this together, yes, in a time of worship service, our singing. But what the writer has in mind here is that we are living a life where praise of God is right on our lips. It's always ready to just overflow because it's there in our hearts. We're always willing and ready to say something about our God and to lift him up and to say great things about our great God. And so therefore it is the fruit of our lips, and it is a sacrifice of praise. Throughout the book of Hebrews, we have heard a lot about sacrifice, haven't we? And we have learned that Jesus is the final sacrifice. And throughout the entire book of Hebrews, he's talked about animal sacrifices in the temple. He's talked about the sacrifice of Christ that is the final sacrifice once for all. But now, for the very first time, and two times in this one text, he uses the word sacrifice in the New Testament sense to describe a life of worship. We don't come to an altar. We don't come to a physical altar. We don't come with an animal sacrifice. We don't come with cakes made of fine oil and fine flour. We don't come with this meal that we come through a priest. No, instead, day by day, moment by moment, our life is a life of sacrifice and thanksgiving to him. And sacrifice is always something that costs us. It's something of value. In the Old Testament, when the worshiper came into the temple and they brought a lamb for sacrifice, it was the best of the best. It was valuable. It was precious to them. It was costly to give it up. And in the same sense, our life of worship will cost us. We give him that which is of value, the best of our lives, the best of our speech, the best of our energy, the best of our material goods, the best of our giftedness. And we give him the best because it is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving of the New Testament. And it is always intentional and costly and reverent and holy. So our hearts are to always be in submission to God and his word, and our speech is always to demonstrate that we are constantly acknowledging the ownership of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he owns us, that he has bought us with a price, and we are living lives that he has ordained for us, good works, before the foundation of the world. And he says we are to offer this confession of gratitude. The word here is the word confession. And it is our confession of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not ashamed to give thanks to God in public where we work and where we live and in our neighborhoods. We acknowledge the name of Jesus. And those who are being baptized today are making the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, and it's the same word. We make a confession of thanksgiving, and they are making a confession of their faith today. You know why? Because one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our sacrifice of praise, our sacrifice of thanksgiving, of worship, is a daily confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And those who are being baptized today is their introductory confession of faith in the Lordship of Christ. So we are to worship our Lord in the New Testament with what we say, with our words, with our lips, and the fruit of lips that comes from hearts that are totally submitted to him and in love with him. But we also see in verse 16, we not only worship with our words, but we are to worship with our works. We are to worship with our deeds. We are to worship by how we do things in life. And he continues with the language of worship and moving from what we say to what we do. Because our worship is more than words, because it's easy to just say a lot of things about praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But does your life match your words? And some people are very quick to talk about what God has done for them, but they don't demonstrate it in their lives. So he says in verse 16, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Don't neglect this life of worship. And he returns to those admonitions that he began chapter 13 with when he said, therefore we are to offer up worship to him that is pleasing. And he said, let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality, the same word here. And the exhortation to not neglect something is a caution that we might easily do that. If we're not paying attention, if we're not proactive, then our life of worship will wane and it will fade. The writer of Hebrews has been very big on these warnings throughout the book. And he said, pay attention lest you drift away. And here is the same idea. Don't neglect a life of worship in deeds, in doing good. Literally, the word is well-doing. And then the word pleased is well-pleased. Doing good means acts of kindness. Sharing is the word koinonia. We know that word. It's the word fellowship. So he's saying that as we fellowship together, we share the common life of Christ. But he also has in mind here the idea of generosity. There are those who have needs in the body of Christ. And a life of worship is one who recognizes that. And we share with others by doing good and by helping them in the body of Christ. Just as what comes out of our mouth is to give praise and honor to God as worship, so our behavior is also an acknowledgement of worship. The Jerusalem church, remember, was devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And this is the life of worship that we do together. Worship is not done simply alone. We do this together. But notice what he says about these two things. He calls them sacrifices. The language of worship, once again. Doing good and sharing the koinonia, the fellowship, the participation in one another's lives. He says, these are sacrifices that please God. We go back to the very first question this morning. Can we please God? Does it please God when we worship him? Absolutely it does. And when he says that these sacrifices of good deeds and sharing please God, he is not saying in any sense that we are saved by our good deeds. We know that that's not true. But good works are the fruit of salvation, just as praise to God is the fruit of our lips and the fruit of a heart that has been saved. Our praise is to be consistent and continual, and our words must act and match what we do. But our ultimate motive is to be pleasing with God. I love the passage in 2 Corinthians 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul is talking about those who die and they leave this earth and they go to be in the presence of God. That passage that says, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And then he concludes it by saying, therefore, we have as our ambition, whether at home in the body or absent with him, to be pleasing to him. The same word that's used here in Hebrews 13, 16. God is pleased with our sacrifice of worship, of our words, and with our deeds. When we worship through Christ, And we do that through word and deed. Our Father is pleased with His children. When we are singing this morning and we're singing the praises of God, God is smiling upon this group. He's happy with us. He's pleased with us. He's full of joy. And God is pleased with you. When you will live a life of praise, God is pleased with you when you tell others through your mouth what He has done for you. God is pleased for you when you are kind and when you share and you do those things that match your words. God is pleased with your worship because it comes through Him. Therefore, through Him, we offer this worship. And God is pleased. God is pleased with those who make the good confession of faith this morning in baptism. And we are